Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, that was easy. Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast match reaction. Hibernian 0, Rangers 3. And I don't know. That was strange. I don't think we necessarily played that well. But at the same time, it was also extremely comfortable. And there was so many positives to take from it. And we actually played no bad. Does that make sense? Does that summation make any sort of sense at all? Welcome everybody. I hope you're all well. Get involved in the comments. We're going to jump straight into the reaction, and then I'll come to all the advertising, selling stuff, and all that good stuff. Stuart, you took yourself straight off mute there. Did you want to jump straight in?
Because actually, what you were saying is what I was kind of thinking as the full time whistle went. I was trying to think, if you were to score that performance out of 10, what are you giving it? You know, you're probably, I don't know, 6 or 7? Because actually, I think there was a whole load of things that the manager would say that we could improve on. There was one point, I think they put something in the first half, one of the stats, that, you know, we had an 82% pass success rate. And I was slightly surprised that it was that high at that point. But it was like a weird game, because the amount of times that we won the ball back off them and we're breaking onto their back line, and no sort of sloppy passing, final ball not good enough, not taking the chance. At one point when the third went in, I thought this could be anything Rangers want it to be, you know, if they really went for it. But I thought it very comfortable. It became a bit of a training game towards the end. So, looked delighted. Said 3-0 before on the pre-match, so absolutely delighted with that. And it's, you know, a really good solid start to that, you know, those two games in hand, and starting to reduce that gap. And, you know, we play first at the weekend. Let's hope we can exert a bit of pressure. But yeah, a comfortable night.
It really was comfortable, Kerr. And the plates are taking a bashing in the comments, by the way, an absolute bashing. And I think I've said this before, Kerr, right? And it feels really strange to sit here. And I know we've got a decent record at Easter Road, but it's a difficult place to go. I don't necessarily think Hibs were that great tonight, right? Fair enough. But we won really comfortably, and we weren't great. But it's really strange. Like, within that performance, it was not being that great. I was looking at it going, the manager's completely turned us around. We're a totally different team. But we weren't that great. Go on and explain what I mean, Kerr, because I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
Neither have I, Martin, because we've won 3-0. I'm as happy as Larry, and you and Stuart have both said negative thoughts on the game as we won.
No, negative. No, not at all.
It's like, Manager going to the dressing room being happy. He's got 3 points, 3 goals, 9 conceded. Connor Goals is missing. He's got one guy just signed to come in. Silver's kind of first start. And I think they won quite very comfortably. Part of the first 10, 15 minutes. Listen, Hibs are a good... Hibs are trying to play football. A totally different side than what you used to see. They try to play football. They try to pass the ball. Not as physical and body and guts like they were. So it's a different game against Hibs now. And they leave a lot of space at the back, which we started to exploit. But after the first 15 minutes, they looked more comfortable. It was always going to be edgy because it's a game in hand. We know we couldn't lose. We had to win. We couldn't even take a draw. We had to win it. So it's always going to be kind of nerves kicking right at the start in case you don't want to give anything away early on. But I think when Redvan scored that goal, I think from then on, we were very comfortable. Yeah, you can look at the, you'll go through it to see what Butland made in the second half. But you're always going to get chances away. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You're seeing it against Dumbarton, they get a goal. Other teams are always going to give chances away, but give chances to other teams. And it's up to you to defend well or save them like Butland done. But seeing all at the end, like Stuart said, it could have been 4 or 5. We missed a lot of chances. If Matondo was shooting boots on, he could have pulled a couple easily. I thought he was quite poor out of anybody in the pitch. But listen, I'm happy with that.
I thought Matondo played really well.
Nah, I thought he was poor myself. But listen, this is what it's all about. Football is all about opinions. We all get different ones.
No, I'm no Connor, Kerr. Leave me alone. I'm no Connor. I mean, Ian, Venom Edge has got a perfectly valid point. Martin, to be fair, we made them look average. I thought our pressing was outstanding, didn't let them play. And that everybody knew going into the game the way that, you know, Montgomery's trying to get his Hibs team to play. I mean, regardless of how teams are going to play, I think that's the way that our manager wants to go about it. He wants to press for the front. He wants to win the ball back right away. He wants to play high tempo, and that's brilliant. Hibs do give you that opportunity. And we possibly didn't let Hibs play. I do tend to agree. But we have levels in this team under this manager, I think. That tonight, that's just the beginning. And we made what is, you know, traditionally, even though we've got, a good record, we've made what is traditionally a difficult place to go. We've made that look really, really easy without being anywhere near our best. And that's not, I'm not sitting here going we didn't play well. I thought we did play well. It's just within that performance, it almost felt as if we were playing with one foot tied behind our back. And I know I'm using because you play football with your foot right before somebody clips it.
Am I okay now? Can I go? Can I? Cool. The pressing was great. Particularly early doors in the first half, the pressing was great because Silva was getting in there, Raskin was getting in there. At times, Raskin was the furthest forward doing the press on the keeper. And with Marshall, you've always got the if you make Marshall rush, you'll make a ricket. So we worked on that. And it didn't stop that. And even though we literally changed the midfield at half time, and that didn't change it either. In some respects, maybe it was better the second half, but we'll get to that later.
More defensively comfortable,
but I don't think we come off the press either. I think Sterling tended to press, and when Sterling goes in for a tackle, he lets you know he's going in for a tackle, so he's going to win that ball. I thought the pressing game, I thought we might lose a little bit with Dessers not being there and Silva taking his place, because Dessers does press really well. But I was really impressed with Silva in the first half. Mm-hmm. His press a few times, he was back on the halfway line, nicking the ball back. Sometimes we move forward quickly, and sometimes they frustrated the hell out of us by slowing it down and letting Hibs get back in possession. But that press was great. And like I said, it's not the best game we've ever played, but not the worst game we've ever played. So like Stu said, a 6 or a 7. So if that's us on a 6 and a 7, I can't wait to see us get to 8, 9, and 10. So
yeah. Like I say, I don't think in any way we were poor. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I looked at that game and I watched that game, and apart from maybe the first 10, 15 minutes where I was a wee bit, we're a wee bit off it here defensively. After that, it was one of those games, it felt like an end-of-season game, if that makes sense, but it just felt so comfortable. And like I say, no way am I saying that we weren't good. We were good tonight. There's just levels in that team, and that this is just the beginning. So Kerr, don't put words in my mouth again, right? Don't I'm no Connor, right? Let's talk about this. Stuart, Charles with a super chat channel member. Thank you very much, Charles. Hey baby, do you know what that's worth? John Lundstrom is the best on earth. 3 points. Serious question about Lundstrom, Stuart. he strolled at the night, and I thought he put in a captain's performance.
Yeah, I can understand what you mean by that. I think he dominated the game, particularly from the start of the second half onwards. I thought he was the best player on the park by quite some distance. And I think he's just continuing that level and a consistency of form that we've seen since Clement came into the job. I think he is somebody that Clement absolutely relies on. It was almost as if with the changes that we had to make at halftime, you know, we don't know yet what why that was, but with those changes, it's almost as if he said, right, I now need to step up even more than I was. His ball for the first goal is tremendous, and we'll probably talk more on it. His ability to just intercept play, break up the play, win it back, recycle it. His ability to just drop in to make that back three, which allows the fullbacks to push on. I thought it was a very impressive performance from an easily man of the match. But I think he's been very good since Clement came in. And you're on mute.
I'm on mute, and then Kurt told me I was on mute. Well, he was on mute because I can lip read. He has, Scott Kerr. He has looked very good since Clement's came in. I'm very level headed. I don't jump the gun or anything, but surely a new 5-year contract's in the works for John Lundstrom, Scott Kerr.
That depends on John Lundstrom's wage demands, doesn't it, Martin?
Seriously, though, with what we've seen Phil Lundstrom in the last few weeks, what he showed in the park tonight, the leadership, he took the game by the scruff of the neck, he was all over the park, he got an assist. When can we start having a serious conversation about, is John Lundstrom good enough to be in this team going forward under Clement?
Well, see, that's up to manager. We can only debate on it. And listen, with a new guy coming in on Monday, there's going to have to be space. Maybe somebody will move out, so you don't know who that will be. Probably Ryan Jack, to be honest with you. But the way he's playing under Clement has been night and day for what he was doing before that, because he's been given instructions what to do. He's been given a position, and he understands his role more. But under Beale, it looked like he didn't know where he was meant to be. He was trying to cover everybody. So I think that works better for John, because he knows what to do and being given instructions. So, and you can see it in his performances. So listen, if he gets a deal done with Rangers and it's not breaking our bank, basically, then he will stay, because the manager will probably want him to stay. And if he can keep that up the way he's doing at the moment, then he's going to be staying in the team for a long time, as long as his performances stay. But that's up to John Lundstrom. Every game, you know yourself, Martin, you're only as good as your last game, just like you're only as good as your last pod. Do you know what I mean?
I most certainly know that. I'm going to say one name, right? And then I'm going to move on, and we'll come back to speak about that name in a little while, right? Sariel Dessers, by the way. Mark Doyle, channel member, Super Chat. Thank you very, very much. Dessers is the enigma, scores a great goal and then misses a sitter. We're going to come back, Mark, and we're going to speak about Sariel Dessers a wee bit later on. And we'll talk about Silva as well. But, Sariel Dessers, I don't think, apart from when Sebo scored that last-minute winner against Aberdeen, when that goal went in, I don't think I've been happier. I don't think I've had a bigger smile on my face. But Ian, in terms of the game, in terms of the start, the kind of the way the first half went, how did you see it?
The start of the game, I think the first thing I put in the chat was, it's a good job Juhan didn't look up. Because if Juhan looks up, we're 1-0 down. He's got a player in acres of space across the back. But saying that, Butler makes a good save, which he's there to do. More on that later. And there seemed to be a bit at the start of the game where Hibs were doing what Aberdeen did to us when we went to Pittodrie, that they just hit the ball between the centre-backs, and it seemed to be working, and it was a little bit of a worry at the early part of the game. And like I said, that first sort of 15, 20 minutes, you've got to be at it with at Easter Road, because they're going to come at you. We know they're going to do it. It's exactly what they did, sort of. It wasn't the helpful level that they normally do. I think they miss a lot when Boy was not playing. He gives them that sort of that edge going forward and sees the box and needs to lie down because he normally, as soon as anyone breathes on him in the box, he's on the floor. But yeah, but we sort of rode the wave. It wasn't really a storm. Not really want to mention in storms at the minute, but they rode that mini wave that they were going at, and then we started to push then and put our stamp on it. We were a bit slow in the transitions going forward at times, but we started to sort of control it a little bit more. And I thought Yilmaz at the start of the game particularly was absolutely solid down his side. He was having a good battle with Juhan when he came over to his side. And he had, going forward, the lad that they've got back from Airdrie, who was on loan, he didn't know what to do, whether to push Ridvan or stick with Matondo. And they just gave him hell for the remainder of that first half. It was superb for them on that side. More on the left than there was on the right, that's for sure.
Yeah, there wasn't. You know, if we've got time, I think we'll talk about McCausland a wee bit, if we have time, because there's so much to get through. But Stuart, kind of early in the game, Fabio Silva does have an early chance. Now, I don't think it looked as good a chance as what it did until I seen the replay, and I think he's maybe just tried to be a wee bit too fancy at the front post.
Yeah, he's tried to be a bit cute with it, hasn't it? That, you know, that wee kind of back heel flick. I thought what was interesting, you know, early doors, actually Matondo, what I thought was doing really well. You know, we were isolating him onto that fullback. And let's be honest, it doesn't really matter what fullback you are. If he gets the chance to knock the ball by you, he's going to be a threat. And he does the right thing. You know, he manages to pick Silva out. I'm not sure it's an easy chance. Maybe if he just tries to, you know, connect with it with his left foot, maybe that gives him a better chance. I can understand what he's doing. I thought tonight he was okay. I'm not sure it's convinced me. You know, we had a chat on the pre-match. Is he a number nine? You know, I think he can play there, but I'm still not convinced that's his natural position. I think there are times where his movement in the box isn't quite what you would have as a number nine actual goal scorer. So, but yeah, look, it was to me, it was a kind of half chance. But there was a kind of positive early sign that was us starting to grow into the game a wee bit, because I thought that first 15, 20 minutes, there was just a lack of fluency to us. You know, in the odd occasion where we did string three or four passes, we were getting into decent positions. The trouble was we weren't stringing three, four passes together enough, which then broke up the play and made it, you know, the game became a bit scrappy. So that was an early sign that we were starting to just exert a bit of dominance and territory within the game.
Yeah, I agree. Kerr, should we have had a penalty in the first half with a foul from Silva? I can't remember who it was on, but it looked almost as if the boy trips himself up and then trips up Silva. Should that have been a penalty for us?
No, I think it's just got on, mate. No, for me, Martin, but listen, the VAR nowadays and football nowadays, you don't know when a penalty is a penalty, when a penalty is not a penalty, do you? You don't know when a handball is a handball and a handball is not a handball. So anything can happen in football these days with VAR, with referees, with stuff like that. So no, it wasn't for me, it wasn't a penalty.
I think Silva's maybe just given him a nudge just before. Now, you can either have the argument, well, that's really good striker play because it's unsettled the centre-half to make the mistake. Like, McLean's a really, really poor referee. As soon as he's, you know, that's what he's given. He's given the nudge before it's actually got to the penalty point. So as soon as he's blown his whistle, you're not even looking at the VAR shout, I think.
Ian, I'll get your thoughts on that. And then after you've gave me your opinion on that, I'm going to bring up this comment for Stephen Gillespie, and you can answer that as well, right? But Ian, for me, I think it's a penalty. I think it's good striker play initially, and then the boy trips and then he falls on top of Silva when Silva's through and goal. For me, that's just my personal opinion. Your thoughts on that and the super chat that Stephen's put in. Thank you, Stephen, for the support. Looney gets a 1-year deal for his wages. We can spend $2 million and get a proper asset playing great, but for me, he is a player you keep forgetting continuously.
I think it was continuously, but on the penalty, I thought it was a penalty. I didn't see much of a push, if any, on the defender, and he's lost his foot and he's fallen into Silva. It would be of the soft variety, but as we all know, soft boiled egg and a hard boiled egg, still an egg. So for me, it was a penalty, but he's given the free kick. So if I'm not sure on the rules of VAR that you can't check it after he's given the free kick.
Oh, no, you can. You definitely can, because they checked for a penalty against Suter. They checked for a handball against Suter after giving a foul. So.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure the rules were if the referee's given a decision on the field before the incident, then therefore it won't be given. I don't know. But VAR is still very confusing to most people and referees and whatnot in Scotland anyway. But on the for me, yeah, penalty, I'd give it, but I'm biased. Lunny, I'm not entirely, like you said, give him a one-year deal for his wages. We can spend $2 million on a proper asset. So are we giving him a one-year deal? Are we not?
No, if you give him a one-year deal, but if you didn't give him a deal, then you could take that money and spend it on an asset.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of comments as well coming in, Ian, saying, you know, Lundstrom does this, he plays really well, and then in a big game, he goes missing.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You can't say that's wrong because that's been Lunny for the last season. But under Clement, he seems to be on a game.
Scored the winner against Leipzig. But anyway.
But yeah, well, that was two seasons ago as well. So didn't do much between that and this purple patch he's now having. So I can kind of understand the argument from both sides. I could see people being interested in Lunny, so maybe a one-year deal wouldn't be too bad to see if we can actually get some money for him if he was to be sold. That's something that we should be doing more of, this sort of automatic one-year extension thing going on so that we can...
Scored in Dortmund as well, Ian.
And that was even longer ago than the Leipzig goal.
I don't know why I went to like an 80-year-old woman there, right? But... I need to stop watching Monty Python.
But it's one of those that the way he's playing, you wouldn't be upset if he signed another year at least. But equally, if he left and we were able to bring in someone for the money that he's getting paid, you'd be equally just as happy. So it's one of them. If he stays, he stays. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But let's enjoy him while we've got him in this purple patch yet again.
Yes. I think the manager wants him, Martin. The manager would want him. But I think Kerr's right. I think it will depend. Is John Lundstrom prepared to probably reduce his weekly wage?
Because we'll not be able to give him, won't we give him any sign for Sheffield United, but can he probably give him that again? So he's going to take a wage cut if he wants to stay.
Yeah. Is he prepared to do that? He's got a young family and stuff like that now up here. So does that maybe sway? But I think the manager would want him, but I think it will come down to whether or not what his wage demands be. And again, what offers he will have. I mean, there'll be no doubt there'll be clubs contacting his agent.
He's not talking to anybody as yet, because you can talk to anybody you want just now.
Yeah,
that is absolutely true. Talking about Lundstrom, Stuart, lovely assist, fantastic pass through for the man who is probably spoken about the most right now is possibly leaving the club after tonight. He will not be. He will be staying exactly where he is. Lovely pass from Lundstrom and a fantastic finish from the best Turkish right back in the world.
Right left back. Back
left back. Left back. I said left back.
Okay.
In fairness, Stuart, I mean, he spent a lot of time out in the right hand side.
He did actually, yes, I'll give you that. Do you know, I think it's a great goal all round, because actually I think if you take it back, there's actually a sustained period of us keeping possession and moving Hibs around a bit about, and then There's a good ball into Lundstrom, and what you've then got is that bit of movement where Matondo is inside, creating the space for Ridvan to go round the outside. And I think it was Ian touching on, they seemed unsure, the Hibs right-hand side, who was going with who was picking up, and that just gave the space. Lovely touch for him. And then a really good finish. You know, even though it's went near post, I'm not sure you can blame Marshall from that, given the distance it is. And again, it cements that Ridvan is our number one left back at the moment. If he's still here after the window, I think he will be Clement's first choice, because I think he gives you something different. You know, it gives you that attacking threat. I don't really see many people worrying about his defensive qualities. You know, nobody's talking about the height thing anymore. You know, all that stuff. So I think all round he's a better option for us. And I, you know, if he was to stay, you could see him chipping in with a few more goals. But I think the goal came at a really good time for us. They just settled everything down. We were in a bit of dominance, and it was just good to finally, you know, make that dominance pay. So yeah, lovely goal.
Charles, I've seen your super chats, and I'm going to come to them very, very shortly. But I just want to stick on this Yilmaz stuff, the now care, and obviously he's had his injury problems. He seems to be kind of one of the more injury prone players at the club since he's joined. Yeah. But if he can stay injury free, you know, is he somebody who, yes, is an asset that we can sell? But I get the feeling, and maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just a wee bit too happy today, right? Is he starting to settle into the club now, and starting to settle into that role?
He hopefully is, man, because this is probably the longest run of games he's had since he's been at the club. He's always been in and out, injured, and then Bernard would play, so he's sitting watching. So this is a long run of games he's had, and he's starting to enjoy his football. He's starting to play really well. But we still don't know. He's a sellable asset, as you said, so I think there's a lot of clubs always going to be interested in him. Galatasaray's name never gets away now. Galatasaray coming for a Ridvan offers a good amount of money. I think Ridvan would go because they're a big club from his homeland and they probably want to go back there and play. But if he doesn't, he stays at Rangers, then I'll be happy to become a left back next season. But as you know, any player on our team we got offered in for, we have to seriously consider them. Mm-hmm. And because it's like a jigsaw club, man, it's got, and he's having to move around to PCs to get the jigsaw he wants finished. So it's a case of selling your sellable assets to raise some funds, then Ridvan's one of them. You can't sell players that nobody wants. So hopefully he stays, but at the end of the day, I don't think he might leave at the window now. I think maybe the time's passed for that, but let's say somebody could in the summer with 4 or 5 million and we might take it. You just never know. But I think if Galatasaray did come in, I think that'd be too big a sway from him not in back.
I think if he keeps progressing the way that he is and he keeps up the performances that he's doing and he adds goals to his game, I would be wanting to be about more than 4 or 5 in the summer if that was the case.
Well, it's the only way we can get.
Well, I'll phone Rangers and I'll go, sort your shit out. Terrible. Sort your stuff out. Ian, have people put in a super chat, as long as it's within reason and it can be read out? I need to make that distinction because some people just take it and run with it. Have you put your super chat in? It is absolutely something we will answer. So I'll take Charles, who's actually put the same point in twice after the performance tonight. And by the way, Charles, thank you for your support. Charles is saying we definitely still need a striker.
Yeah, we do still need a striker. Silva, like we've already said, he can play across that front line, but he's not an out-and-out striker. Dessers, bless him, is either, like someone put it in our chat earlier, like De Boer said, he's either a 2 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10. So we need that someone who's in that number 9 role, who is going to be that out-and-out striker. The chances come that you know they're going to put him away. They don't have to take penalties at the club because we've got a penalty taker, so they can miss them. That's fine. I don't think he's coming, by the way. But surely between Clement and the new director of football, whose name just disappeared out of my head, I nearly said Klopp. So we'll just move on from that. That's him. they've got their targets elsewhere, maybe in other leagues a little bit to the east over there in Scandinavia. They look like that's sort of market they like to play with. They must have somebody in mind, but it's still a tricky window to bring people in. The European side, if they haven't played European football, that could be a bit of a sway. So, yeah, we definitely do still need a striker. I don't think that bringing in Silva was going to change that. The fact that Roof has done his 48 hours and is now away for probably the remainder of the season just means that we need to definitely bring that striker in. Who that will be, I don't know. Obviously, the one name still being bandied about, but I just don't see that happening now, the closer and closer we get to the end of the window. So we just have to wait and see, unfortunately. Hopefully someone will, they'll find someone, particularly someone who's on maybe on the edge of getting into a international squad, who's looking to push forward and get noticed to play in Euros in the summer. So
can I just say I'm amazed that Americans can now finally understand Kerr, which is phenomenal. Hello to John and Seattle, by the way. I don't get jealous when I hear of people in Canada and America, and I don't get jealous at all when people in Tenerife. No. Hamilton's fantastic. Stuart, Todd Cantwell. Fantastic goal, although I'm looking at it, the goal, and I'm thinking, could Marshall do better? Because it wasn't in the corner. It seemed a wee bit central, but it's a fantastic strike. But his performance overall obviously went off at halftime. We'll discuss that in a wee second. But Todd Cantwell, Stuart, discuss.
Yes, we talked about him pre-match, and I think he gets a bit of a raw deal for all his kind of social media stuff and whatever. I couldn't care less about that. I think the frustration for the majority of Rangers fans is we know Todd Cantwell is capable of things like that, and we're just not seeing enough of it. I think we saw a real player when he first arrived. You know, Ian talked about that in the post-match. And I think we were all expecting that Todd Cantwell to, you know, really push on and this season, and we haven't seen it. This goal, again, you talked about Ross McCausland. What I thought was really good for McCausland in this goal, he's got a really, really easy 5-yard pass inside to Raskin. He doesn't take it. He actually plays the harder pass, taking out a Hibs midfielder. But don't underestimate how good Todd Cantwell's first touch is. That first touch allows him to get the ball out of his feet with another touch and then the strike. Yeah, maybe you could look at Marshall, but I think let's focus more on the positives about how, you know, the Cantwell strike and what a really good goal it was. I thought overall, I put in our chat, I don't think we've seen enough of it, but I did think there was a couple of really interesting moments between him and Silva where they're trying wee 1-2s or balls round the corner to one another in and around an opposition penalty box. Things I don't think we see enough of. I think as the game went on, I think the way just Hibs were set up, I think you did see a wee bit more, but I thought that was quite interesting. I thought there was potential there. We just need to hope that it's just a precaution that he's came off, because what you don't want is him scoring a goal like that and then we don't see him for a few weeks. You want him to hopefully build on it and go to St Mirren on Saturday and hopefully get another, and then that momentum builds. So again, I thought it was just another lovely, lovely goal. So let's give him the credit rather than talking about the Hibs goalkeeper.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Kerr, you can be quiet in a game without being poor. It could just be a case of either the game sort of passing you by or it's just gone to other players within that game. I thought Stuart's point was spot on about Silva. There was a couple of lovely 1-2s with Cantwell and Silva. He was quiet, but then he pops up. I mean, what more do you want? Like Stephen's saying, he pops up with a goal.
It was quiet, man. I mean, what you're looking for Todd is you're looking for him to get assists and goals, which obviously he done tonight with his goal, but on a more consistent basis. But he's still a busy player. He still presses. He's still he's always looking for the ball off others, even just for a short pass to move again. He never really hides away, and he's always looking to make things happen. And a lot of time it doesn't come off him, but he never shies away from it. We all want more from him because we know the type of player he is. We know he's a good player. We know he can give us more, and that's what we want to see. I think sometimes it's not just ourselves, it's not just me, but we all do it. But sometimes a player performs really, really well over a short period of time, and we bum them up that much, we think they're great. But as soon as they have a lull, I've done it with Lundstrom, as soon as they have a lull, we criticise. And then when they get back again, we kind of like them again. So I think, you know, I'm not just talking about Lundstrom and Cabell, I'm talking about players in general. Sometimes players go through difficult periods where they're not going as well as they have been. But sometimes you've got to stick them because good players do eventually come good again, do you know what I mean? And I think tonight he was going to go off because you see him going for his groin, but that strike, he hit it early. I think that's why Marshall didn't expect it. He just, like you should say, the first touch he took for the pass for Ross was superb, and he hit it early. I think that's what caught him off guard. But it's a great finish, but that finish tonight, that's what you want to see him doing more often because you know he's going in his locker. It just doesn't happen often enough.
And like you say, it was a fantastic finish. Right, okay, let's quickly hear, I think it's only about 2 minutes, what the manager made of the game tonight.
Philippe, a really dominant performance from your side today. What did you make of that performance?
Yeah, that what I wanted. What I wanted also after this winter break, it's always important to start good again. We had a really good period in December with a lot of wins. Then you have this break in between training camp, friendly games, to the Dumbarton game. It's also at a different level and on a difficult pitch. But there, the guys did the job already and today again. So it's what I expect. We need to continue like that and keeping the same focus, the same hunger, desire, and the same team spirit, because that was also important today. Everybody who came on. All the substitutes, they had an impact on the game. So it's important that we stay really strong as a collective.
You could really see the hunger today from the players as well, so to keep going for more.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about every day. You see that this mentality is now in the team, and it's really important that it stays. This is always dangerous when you win two times and you think it comes falling out of the sky. No, it's hard work. It's about being focused all the time. It's about a lot of running without ball. They are doing that for the moment, and we're going to be really close on that it stays until the end, because you see a big difference with 3 months ago, but it's all about the focus, concentration, and hunger and desire.
You spoke before the game about the threats that Hibs could pose tonight as well. Jack had a couple of saves, but you must be really pleased to come away with a clean sheet too.
Yeah, clean sheet is really important. Away game. In a stadium with a lot of supporters. And Hibs is a good team on the ball. They are always offensively very dangerous. Jack saved us a few times, that's true, but in general, we defended well.
And on the goals, 2-3 really good finishes from all three of the boys that scored.
Yes, and also a fourth goal just disallowed with centimetres offside. So that was also a good attack. We had several really other good attacks that the goalkeeper had a few good saves. So, no, I'm pleased about this game. It's now about confirming this in St Mirren. So we have directly a start with three away games, Dumbarton, here, and now St Mirren. So that's a good challenge. And we're going to be focused to have the same performance there.
I love listening to the big man. I do. I absolutely love listening to him. One of the things he mentioned there, Ian, which we probably should have spoke about in the build-up, but we didn't, was mentality. How many times have we sat on a reaction after Celtic have dropped points, or we've got a chance to make some ground up and we've dropped points and we've not capitalised on it? It was a big test, and people can say, oh no, Hibs are rubbish, or this or that. Teams can be as rubbish as you want. When you've shown the lack of mentality that we have over the last 2 years, to come back from the winter break, to go to a tricky away ground and put in that performance, that to me shows what this manager's bringing to this team.
Yeah, and the mentality starts with him, because he's the one who's got to drum that mentality into these players to tell them that they are good enough to go and do what they've done tonight. Previous management, that It's easy to say because he's not here now, but that doesn't happen under the previous manager. because it was more about him than it was about the 11 players on the field. But the players are also aware that they've got to play because Clement's not going to take, he's not going to suffer fools gladly. There was one point the camera cut to him. We were cruising two or three up at the point when the camera cut to him and we'd misplaced the pass and he was going ballistic. Mm-hmm. And so the players know that. So their mentality's got to switch from what it was to, do you know what? It'd be a tough game. We might drop points, but we'll pick them up again somewhere else. They can't have that mentality anymore. They've got to fight in every game. So it's on him, and it's a good thing going forward that he has brought this back into our players. Well, you never know. Give it a try.
In Man, you have bought worse. But anyway, carry on.
I think the mentality part of the players, although the mentality has changed, it starts with Clement and what he's brought in since he got here. And as he alluded to in it, it's like 3 months ago, it would have been completely different. I don't think they would have been up for the way the Hibs started tonight, that first couple of minutes, if we had conceded a goal, we'd probably, if we walk away with a point, we'd have been quite happy. But that's different now. Now it's, we're leaving here, we're taking all 3 points. And if you want to take those 3 points off us, you are going to have to actually stand up, be counted and be better than us. And you can't do that. So fantastic. Let's hope that it just gets better. And again, like we've already alluded to, tonight was a 6 or a 7 out of 10 performance in the way that the game played out. It wasn't spectacular. So one day we're going to get to that level. With the way the mentality is going, and
I don't think it will take long.
No,
I really don't think it will take long.
I can't keep up with it though, because my plate bill is going through the roof.
Peaceful Warrior, thank you so much for your super chat and your support. That's a good challenge, Big Phil. We are the people. Thank you very much, Peaceful Warrior. Stuart, your thoughts on Raskin tonight? Coming back from injury. In fact, do you know what? I'm going to leave it in your safe hands, Stuart. Your thoughts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I thought it was decent first half, you know. Not spectacular, but I think he's quite a few times he's actually leading the press and stuff like that. So he's obviously got the freedom to do that. Manager recognises that he's got the ability to recognise when to go, when not to go. So overall, I thought he was looking absolutely fine in there. Actually, that whole incident with Cantwell, I did notice him coming over and speaking to the assistant manager, and I did think to myself, is he saying there's something not quite right there, or a bit of a niggle? And sure enough, he doesn't appear in the second half. And again, that's very similar to Cantwell. I just hope, you know, we've caught something in the nick of time. It's just a precaution so that we're not, again, at a stage where it's stop-start for him, because that's really, really difficult for a player to kind of build up match fitness, form, etc. When it's so stop start. But I thought his first 45-minute performance was it was absolutely fine, in doing exactly what we needed to do. I think he's the one element at times. I just think his passing could be a bit better. I think there's, you know, he can be a bit slack in that regard at times, and something that he needs to improve on.
I mean, Aaron makes the point here that Raskin didn't carry the ball as well as he can, and which is probably fair. But again, he's just coming back from injury. We're getting minutes in his legs, and I think he's one of these players, not just because he's the same nationality, but I think he's a player that Clement would love to have on his team. I think he plays the way that Clement wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's playing maybe a different way, but the other manager wanted him to play, and he's coming back after an injury, which maybe it's still in the back of his head. He doesn't want to be injured again, because he's the type of player, he's the type of guy who wants to play, doesn't want to miss games. And I thought he'd done okay in the first half. I thought, like Stuart said, he was pressing, he was trying to get forward. Yeah, he's passing the goal straight times, but that's because sometimes he doesn't go for the sample pass. He tries to take a risk at times and play the pass forward, which if it comes off, great. If it doesn't, then you've lost the ball. But I thought he was pressing because Lundstrom went to kind of forward back at times because Tav and Redman were pushing up. So I thought he'd done well, but I think taking him off after the length of time he's had off was just precaution because you've got still in there if you can play in that position as well. So I think Nico will be fine. I think when he's fully firing, he has probably one of the first names in the team sheet, or he's at least in the squad anyway. And I think if he can get him back to where he was when he came in the door, we'll all be happy with that. He's another guy we brought in for a bit of money, but hoping that he does well in two or three seasons, then we can sell him on for big money. So that's still there with him. He's got hundreds of potential. And I think more games he gets, we'll start to see that again, Martin.
I know people are jumping right on this Sterling thing. And look, Sterling's played really well since he's came in. But we have to remember that that isn't necessarily his position. And I'm always wary about moving somebody into a brand new position and keeping them there, especially young players. And for me, if you were moving Sterling into the midfield, he's more a Lundstrom type player for me than a Raskin type player. I think they're two totally different players. However, I don't really know much about football, so I'll try and keep my points to myself. Stephen Gillespie again, what about Cantwell's challenge on Nick Montgomery? That was a free kick, by the way, on Cantwell. They sandwiched them, and not in a good way. How he never got a free kick there is absolutely beyond me. Ian, your thoughts then, I'm realising the time we're on, by the way. Your thoughts then on the second half. Did the substitutes make it a completely different game in the second half?
Well, it changed the entire midfield. I mean, the only Lundstrom was the remainder of the starting three. So we did start a little bit slower in the second half while they got used to that. Hibs had their, like, I think we touched on that in the pre-match as well, that the first 10-15 minutes of each half they were going to press really hard, and they did that. And I think it just took a little bit of time for the substitutes to get into the game. It's always difficult coming in halfway through a game. You are ready. You're ready to go, and you're warm, and you're good to go. But it just takes a little bit of time just to get up to the speed of the game. And they just need a little bit of time to settle into it. Once they did that, we took that full control. We tried to make it a little bit difficult for ourselves at times, playing out from the back. But Hibs had probably their best chance of the game. And Butland made a save. I know that you say that the kid should score, but I say that Butland's there, and that's what he gets paid for. So,
no, listen.
And then I got Roy Keane.
Who called you Roy Keane? No, 100%. It's a phenomenal save. But I don't even know that. I'm terrible. I should know his name. Whoever it was that had the chance for Hibs, if he puts it high into the corner, or he even puts it into the corner, Jack doesn't save it because he's not Stretch Armstrong. But just on that, I was going to come to Dessers, but you've mentioned it, Ian. So Stuart, I'll come to you on Jack Butland. Like I say, phenomenal. I mean, I actually, every single time you mention him, it's just the same conversation, but it's a conversation that I love to have over and over and over again. What a goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? What I really enjoyed was his bit of celebration after that save. You know, just clearly a goalkeeper. All goalkeepers love to clean sheets and stuff like that. But, you know, you just seen what that... I think he knew the importance of that. You know, we're 2-0. We're dominating the game here. But if Hibs get a goal back, you know, it gets that stadium up, you know, their tails would be up for a bit. So I think he knew just the importance of it. But it's almost kind of expected now, which I think is just a sign of an absolutely brilliant goalkeeper. You've got faith in him that he's got the ability to make those big saves in those big moments. And he's doing it on a regular basis for us. He's a phenomenal signing. I would be doing absolutely everything to try and put him onto a new contract just to protect that asset. I do think we have to accept he is somebody that clubs are going to come sniffing about. But if we protect that asset, then we're in a position, you know, where we can absolutely ask for top dollar for him. So yeah, look, I hope he's here for a long, 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 long time. Another in the long line of great Rangers goalkeepers, I think.
I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, been to Crystal Palace, you know, some smaller teams as well in the EPL, you know, Manchester United. So he's made his money, right? The guy's a multi-millionaire. He's had games for England. I think he may just get to the point where he goes, I'm going to play European football here. I'm going to win trophies here. Why would you want to leave that to go and play for a mid-table English team, albeit on a lot more money? But if money's not a motivating factor, I think he might be happy to get out of here.
Yeah, potentially, Martin, but I think also the money might influence Rangers.
Well, of course.
You know, if we've set a price and some team comes in and offers that price, then as a football club, we need to be thinking that. How many times have we talked about that lack of forward thinking? Your Morelis's, your Kent's, and stuff like that, selling at the right time. I don't want to see Jack Butland going. That's not what I'm saying here, but there has to be a bigger picture at play, and I just want us to kind of protect our assets.
Even if you accept a bid for him, he's still got to accept a contract, and he's still going to want to leave. And by the way, according to Buffalo Alberts, if you fed Glenn Kamara a Thunderstone, he would turn into Sterling, for those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I'm going to leave that there. And if you know what I'm talking about, then fair play to you. Absolutely fair play to you. Kerr, let's talk about my favourite part of the night, shall we? Cyril Dessers. I mean,
thanks, one, Cyril.
He's a beautiful man, isn't he? He's an absolutely beautiful man.
He's an enigma, isn't he, Martin? You don't know what you're going to get for Cyril. He could be hot and cold in exactly the same minute. Listen, the finish was superb. The finish was world class. If you look at it, if somebody else knows that finish, talk about it, could be in Sky Sports on a look. But he just comes on and he's dead nonchalant in the way he does it. He just passes it into the net and runs away, thinking, I do that every day in training. Then he gets his chance later on and you think he just passes it straight towards Marshall, straight down his throat because he's not composed enough. He doesn't know what he's getting. We don't know what we're getting. But that's him scored 11 goals. So he's offering us something. We still need another number 9, to be honest with you. He's offering us something because we need an alternative because he's not consistent enough. But he's got 11 goals. And like I said earlier about Cavill, he's another one. He doesn't hide, he tries. And God loves a tryer, but he does try. And he never even lets you see it. Either against Dumbarton or night, he missed 3 or 4, but eventually got one. He just doesn't hide for it. He's always in a position to get the chances. It's just something he's composed out some now. Just a quick word on Jack Butland. I don't think Butland's motivated with money. If he was, he'd have stayed where he is. He'd have stayed at United. He was getting far more money there. But Jack's got a lot to prove. He's played England lower leagues. He's played with Palace at Stoke. He came through at Birmingham, very highly rated. He played with England. But he was kind of forgotten in England for a long time because of injuries and maybe a few bad performances. He's come up to Rangers to prove a lot of people wrong. And so far, he's doing that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he'll rush out the door because I think the clubs, he's enjoying what it's like to play with Rangers. He's starting to fall in love with the club, the fan. He knows he's playing in Europe, playing in front of 50,000. Listen, he's not a bad wage. He's no skint. He's on a good wage. Granted, mm-hmm. more than a wage, but he's on a good wage. So personally, I don't think Jack Butland will be in any rush to go back to a place where he was sat on his backside on a bench for 2, 3, 4 years because he'd either wasn't playing well enough for his injured. So I think as long as he's at Rangers and we're doing stuff, he's enjoying it. I think he'll stay here. And the only thing I would say is, Stuart's right, if he get an offer of 10, 15 million, we'll probably look at it. But apart from that, I think Jack Butland's staying put. I think he's falling in love with Rangers.
I mean, I think he's good enough, right, to go to a team in England that plays Champions League football. I do. I genuinely think he's that good a goalkeeper. I just don't see a team down south coming in for him.
They like
big names. I don't think he's good enough with his feet for a big club down south, right? I think that's probably the only, because short stopping ability wise, he's decent with his feet, but he's not, I don't think he's at the standard with his feet where a big club down south is going to come for him. So I think the only place he's going to get Champions League football is Rangers, and I think that's what he'll want to stay here for Champions League football. But Ian, on that Dessers goal, I mean, technique-wise, that's a phenomenal finish.
It is, because there wasn't a lot of pace on it. enough pace to beat all four Hibs defensive line and the goalkeeper to get in, but it wasn't the hardest hit thing he's ever done. It was just subtle and into that corner and just in that right place where you're just not going to get to it no matter how hard you try. And that's what he does. I mean, I think I put it to out there that you get that from Dessers, that sublime moment that when he was at Celtic Park and he's running in on goal and he's only got to put it past Hart, his ass fell out of him and he didn't know what to do. And then you go back and you look at Real Betis. There's not one of us when he went and did that turn thinking he was going to finish it, and he sticks it through to keep his legs and then it goes. So he's got those moments in him. There's a strong possibility that he could end up on 20 goals for the season. And you wouldn't have thought that going in for the first couple of months. So that doesn't take away the fact that we still need that number nine. We do need someone to come in. And that's, again, he's come off the bench and made an impact. So is the bench, not saying that he should be on the bench every single time, but do we get more from him coming off the bench than we do with him starting?
Did we get £4 million worth of value of him coming off the bench? I know it's not his fault how much we paid for him, but you know, we did pay £4 million. When are we in a position to pay £4 million for a guy who's going to spend most of his time on the bench?
That is true. We've just dished out another £4 million, apparently, according to the talk in social media. I don't know what the ins and outs of the deal, but I can't see that one sitting on the bench for the remainder of the season.
But it was in pesetas, according to some of you. It was in pesetas, so I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Just quickly on Dessers. And somebody in our group chat, can't remember, made a really, really valid point. Dessers had started the season the way he's currently playing, I'm not sure the feeling that some fans have about him would exist. I think he's, the start that we had with him was really so poor that then it made up people's minds on him, and that's why he's going to get struggling. But I think Ian's right. You know, if at the start of the season he said, well, you spent £4 million on somebody and he's going to get you 20 goals, and I think we would have probably went, all right then, because that's what we've been crying out for. What we need is others to then contribute around that to hopefully, but we need a striker that's going to get 20 goals. He is likely, I think he probably will get in around that mark, but I think that really poor start to the season has influenced people, because I think if he'd kind of started the way he's playing now and contributing, I don't think he would have quite got to that level.
No, but also if he was contributing the way that he is contributing and the way he was playing coming off the bench, I think people would still be sitting here going, you paid £4 million for a guy who only performs on the bench. You know, it just seems to be. Who was the last English player to play for Rangers and England at the same time?
What, national team?
In Mark Haley.
Was it Haley? Anyway, I'm going off topic and we're 55 minutes into this reaction, so I'll leave that one with you, and Stuart's not going to let that go. We scored a fourth, care to get ruled offside, but it was good to see, it was good to see, like the manager says, you know, the desire, the spirit, the hunger. Two substitutes coming on, albeit just slightly offside. Lovely ball for Jack. Great finish for Lawrence. And even, like I say, I've said it three times now, even though it was offside, it's good to see Lawrence getting into Rose's position.
Yeah, we know Tom can do that. It's just been unfortunate injuries as well, and that's what's held him up. But we know he likes to get forward. He was on a run previously. He was scoring a couple of goals. We know he likes to get forward. And Ryan Jack puts a decent ball in. But it was good, even though we're 3-0 up, we were still going for a fourth mark. And that was good to see. We didn't just shut up shop and think that's the 3 points. We were still going for that. We've seen Ranger teams in the past when we're 2 or 3 up, we just kind of slow everything down and shut up. But it was good we were still going for a goal. That's what I like to see, because if teams are doing that against us, they would do that. So I like to see it against anybody. It doesn't matter if it's Habs or anybody else. But as long as if we're 3 up, 4 up, go for more. So that was a good thing to see. But listen, I think the manager's going to have to use his squad wisely, because he knows that himself. There's going to be injuries at times. There's going to be certain games he uses some players, certain games he uses others. So I don't think Dessers will sit on the bench, but I don't think he'll start every game either. I think it'll be a bit of both. He'll lose Silver in some games, like we've seen tonight, and maybe other games he'll put Dessers up top. Matondo come in, he'll maybe go out and Silver go left. So there's a lot of rotation going to happen. Diamondi's going to come in. We don't know if will he come in and start, will he come in and just take his time to get started. It's a lot of money we're paying for him, £4.5 million. And so is he going to come in, potatoes? Yeah, is he going to come in and start straight away? Is he going to take a wee time to blend in? Because, you know, as fans we don't like to give players time. Usually some fans after 30 minutes of watching a player, we're ready to make up our minds, he's poor or he's good. But I just thought it'll be a personal point of view there. But no, so it's good to see. And it's good to see tonight, because usually after we come off a winter break, we start poor. But I still think we performed the only night. We get 3 points at a difficult venue. And it's a game in hand we've won, because it's great having games in hand. But you need the points. And that's 3 points back
there. We're absolutely on our way. Just quickly then, Ian, the manager also mentioned that we defended well. And I've lost the comment, but it was from a channel member who said that John Souter was solid. A, do you agree with the manager's assessment that we defended well? And how did you rate Big Souter's performance tonight? And give your answer, because I know you're desperate to.
I might let Stu give the answer, seeing as though he has got it. We defended well overall. There were a couple of dodgy moments, but I think that's just Balogun and Souter getting used to playing with each other, because obviously they don't play together all that often. There was nothing wrong with the way Souter played today. He was quite calm, quite composed. I don't remember him making any mistakes, any lapses. He drove out of defence like he can do, which is superb. I like it when he does that. He was fairly solid on the ball. No real concerns with him being there. I think we were pretty capable in the back four. We had a couple of worrying moments, but I don't think it was anything overly exciting. They got in a couple of times, but you expect it. Overall, I think the manager's right. I think we did fairly well defensively tonight, particularly down the left side. I think that Ridvan out of the four was probably the number one, but Souter won far behind him. Muted again. Oh, twice in a day.
Oh, shocking behaviour, shocking behaviour. The manager was wrong about one thing. There was a lot of Rangers fans the other night, but there wasn't a lot of Hibs fans. I thought the turnout for the Hibs fans was shocking, actually, to be brutally honest with you. All right, Stuart. See, I nearly called you Stu. He's Stuart, Ian. We've got a Stu. He's Stuart. He looks like a Stuart. He behaves like a Stuart. Call him Stuart.
Stuart.
Listen, guys, it's 10 to 11 on a Wednesday night. Come on, it's Stuart. The last person to play for Rangers and England at the same time. Not at the same time, because that would be a very big person, but while they were at Rangers.
My guess was Gaza.
No, he's an old... It was Brandon Barker. No, I'm only joking. I don't know who it was. I genuinely don't know.
It must be around about that time. Somebody in the comments, hopefully.
Somebody in the comments put Brandon Barker, and honestly, it made me laugh. It really did make me laugh.
Somebody said Michael Ball, which I thought was a decent, but injury-wise, was more only doubt about that. But decent shout that as well, I think.
But such a very good. Yeah. But listen, before we go, we do have a brand new sponsor. You can see NordVPN there. We are now sponsored by Football Prizes. And one of our viewers won one of the instant prizes when they entered one of the competitions. And they've got a great competition going just now. And it's a first team shirt signed by the manager himself, Philippe Clément. And I believe there's 17 instant prizes to be won as well. So if you use the link in the description and head over to the Football Prizes website, and enter that competition, you could be winning a signed first team shirt by the manager himself. And like I say, 17 instant prizes to win as well. So thank you to Football Prizes for helping to support the Rangers Rabble. And you can also help to support the Rangers Rabble by supporting Football Prizes. Link in the description. Thank you, Kerr. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Stuart. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you for all the super chats. The support this show gets is unparalleled. It's unbelievable, and I thank you very much. We are charging towards 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you haven't already, please do subscribe. The last time I checked, we were on like nearly 9,700, I think it was, what we're getting close to. So if you haven't already, please do subscribe and leave a like in And leave a like on the video as well. Sorry, just a comment put me off there. I think I might have forgot to put a link in the description for the sponsors. So I shall do it as quickly as I possibly can. My apologies. Yeah, so if you haven't already, please leave a like on the video. And if you're watching on Facebook, give us a follow on Facebook and a wee sharing on Twitter. Give us a retweet and comments and all that good stuff. It all helps to share the pod with as many Rangers supporters as humanly possible. We are back on Friday night as we preview the St Mirren game away, which is going to be another tough game. St Mirren are on a decent bit of form this season. And then, of course, we're back on Saturday for build-up and reaction to said St Mirren game. So thank you, gents. Thank you, everybody, for watching. And we'll speak to you all very, very soon.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.